If you have your Bible, flip it open. We're going to be in Romans 16, last Sunday message in the book of Romans. Romans 16. If you didn't bring a Bible, we might have one. I don't know if we... Do we have extra Bibles? Yeah, he's going to get them, so you can raise your hand when he comes back. When you have it, Romans 16, verse 13. It says in Romans 16, verse 13, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord and patron saint of all canines, and his mother and mine." Paul, in this book, chooses to name out about 30 folks from the church at Rome which this letter is written to. Rufus is one of the 30. Now, this church would have numbered in the thousands, possibly 10,000. So Rufus is obviously a leader. Rufus is obviously a man that is passionate about Jesus. He's called out by name and memorialized in God's word. I want you to keep that in mind as we look at today's study. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you that we get to celebrate you every single day and your goodness and mercy to us. So bless us, be with us, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, dads, in fact, it's larger than that, it's men. Do you know that men and women are different? Now, that's not politically popular. That's not politically correct. But it's true. We think differently. We act differently. We look differently. And most of us dress differently. We're just different. We're different, and that is not a bad thing. In fact, I think the differences are good when you understand our differences and you use them to complement each other as men and as women. And we could talk about how men and women are different when it comes to finances. For gals, you guys, it's all about the shoes. For guys, it's all about the toys, isn't it? You know the only difference between men and boys? The price of their toys. With a four-year-old, it's, look at my G.I. Joe, you know, action figure with a kung fu grip. For the 40-year-old, it's, I need that 600 Yamaha Banshee quad. And when you're 40, you can justify it. That's the difference. I need it. It's a necessity. I get home from work and I'm so tired, I need to go check the mail. Got to have it. Really. We're different emotionally. Gals, you guys seem to cry at every single wedding. So far, I haven't cried at one. Sorry. Guys, though, we cry when our favorite college team loses. Happens to me all the time. Emotionally, we're different. Conversationally, we are different. For guys, when we have a conversation, it's get to the facts, give me what is important, and let's get on with it. That's a conversation to guys. Gals, a conversation is much deeper than that. It's about connection. It's about communication. It's about expression. It's all these things. So when we get home from work, gals, you tell us everything. Everything. The exact times all your children got up in the morning. Wow. What you ate for breakfast. Great. And the baby ate more this morning than he did yesterday. Isn't that so great? Yes. And then we went for a walk and we picked some flowers, and after we picked some flowers, we thought, it would be so good to go to Grandma's house. And so we went to Grandma's house, and while we're at Grandma's house, we decided we're going to invite her for lunch. But then on the way home, we realized we didn't have any lunch meat. So then I went to the store and picked up some turkey, and while I was there, I met Jenny. And Jenny told me what her kids had for breakfast. And we had the same thing. Isn't that interesting? Yes. We're different. We just are different. And I say, viva la difference. It's a good thing. And if there's one difference I want to point out in men and women today, dads and moms, it's this. Women, they can multitask. Men, we cannot. We think we can, but we can't. Let me give you exhibit A, me. Last year about this time, there was a little family emergency. My wife's grandpa passed away, so she had to travel down, take a plane down to Monterey for the funeral. And so that left me with my three girls, Carissa, who was 6 at the time, Isabella, who had just turned 4, and then Gabrielle, who had just turned 2. So I had the three girls and me. Well, on Friday night, I had this wedding rehearsal that I had to go to. So I packed my three kids into my truck, drove to the wedding rehearsal, which, you guys know, we don't have a church building. So it's up to the bride and groom to find a church, and then I just show up. I'll do it. You find the place. And so they decided to meet at Redwood Country Church out there on Redwood Avenue. No problem. Showed up there, said, girls, daddy's got some work to do. Go play. Play in the traffic. Do something. I'm busy. And so they're doing their thing, and I do the whole rehearsal, and everything went well. And after that, we went out, and we were in the foyer, kind of. And I had all the guys around from the wedding party, and I was telling them a story. I like to tell stories. And so I'm there, I'm telling them this story, I'm really into it. I get into my stories. And about halfway through my story, I feel this tug on my leg. I look down, it's my 2-year-old, Gabrielle. And we had just finished potty training her. And she looked at me and she said, Daddy, I have to go to the bathroom. Well, I did what every dad does. You can wait. And I kept telling my story. Well, about 3/4 of the way through the story, she pulls on my leg again. And this time she's doing the hop. Daddy, I got to go to the bathroom. And so I realized this is important. So I look for Carissa. Carissa, can you please take your sister to the bathroom? Sure. So she grabs Gabrielle to go to the bathroom. I finished my story. Wonderful. Right when I finished my story, I looked around, and the doors to the sanctuary kind of pushed open, and out came Gabrielle, and she's walking like this. I went, uh-oh, I better investigate this. I scoop her up. I open the doors to the sanctuary. There's this red plush carpet in there. And on that red plush carpet are these footsteps, wet footsteps, that go all the way down the center aisle to this large puddle right in front of the pulpit. To make matters worse, the pastor is there, and his young son is putting his fingers in it, smelling his fingers. When I saw that, I turned around and ran. I'm out of here. No, I said, don't do that. And the son looked at me and he said, it's okay, it's just warm Coke. I said, that's not warm Coke. I said, that is pee. The kid grabbed his hand and ran screaming out of the church. His dad's still looking for him. If you see him, tell me. And so I went up and I explained to the pastor, here's the situation I've got to go, and I didn't tell him everything that I really blew it, but I just told him part of the story. And so he's just looking at me. He's got this puzzled look on his face, and he just said, what church are you from? I said, I'm from River Valley. I'm over there. Great church. Let's face it. Men, we're very good at single-focused kind of activities. I can focus on this, and I can do it to the best of my ability, but if you ask me to multitask, look out. There's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. And I'll tell you, on the practical side of that, if I have the kids, if it's my job to have the kids, I don't try to do two things anymore. I don't try to have the kids and do a remodel. I don't try to have the kids and be on the computer. I don't try to have the kids and have a phone call. I focus on my kids. Real practical point for some of us guys that are that kind of focused. But on the spiritual side, as a dad, there is one thing I want for my kids. One thing. There's one thing that shapes what I do and shapes my focus. There's one thing I want for my kids. It's not that they would be able to memorize the most Bible verses, but we work on that. That's important. It's not that they could beat every other first grader in Bible trivia, and they can. It's not that they can be like a trained SEAL and bark out some kind of mantra to get a cookie. I'm not interested in that. There's one thing I want for my kids when they leave the door of my house. I want them to be passionately in love with Jesus, period. If I succeed there, success. My kids get it. It's not a mantra. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. That's my single focus for my kids. That's what I want. So how does that happen? How do we get kids that end up with that kind of a mentality? How, as dads, do we do that? Well, that brings me to our verse, this verse in Romans chapter 16, where we meet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, pointed out in a very elite group from this church in Rome, obviously a leader, obviously a man that loves Jesus. Why did he get here? What happened to him that would make him a man that is pointed out, singled out in this giant church as someone unique? I believe there's one reason. His dad carried the cross. What? Rufus's father carried the cross. Flip back with me a couple books to the book of Mark chapter 15, where we pick up that story. Mark 15. Matthew, Mark in the New Testament. Second book. Mark 15, verse 15, I'm going to read through verse 22. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put on his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. And verse 21, they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they brought him unto the place called Golgotha. Here's the scene. It's Passover. Jesus is being led to be crucified. Simon, this guy, has come from Cyrene, which is in North Africa, traveled up to enjoy the Passover feast. He shows up in this place. There's this crowd of people walking by. All of a sudden, the blunt part of a Roman spear taps him on the shoulder, and that Roman soldier points at the cross. He got the point. I know what I have to do. Pick up that cross. He carried it to Golgotha, where Jesus Christ was crucified. Something happened. The Bible doesn't tell us what. Something happened in that event that forever changed Simon's life, forever changed his kids' lives. He carried the cross of Christ, and it caused his kids to become followers of Jesus as well. Well, how did that happen? What does that mean to carry the cross? What is it? Am I supposed to go out into the woods and cut down some tree and make a cross and carry it around wherever? What do you mean, you know? So he carried the cross. His family was transformed. What does that mean? What does that mean, Matt, to carry the cross as a dad? I'm going to give you four ways I believe dads can carry the cross. You want your kids to turn out well? You want your kids to turn out where they love Jesus Christ? Four ways that you can carry the cross in your family. Number one. Dads, you want to carry the cross for your kids? Number one, pray for them passionately. Pray passionately. Now, Matt, you're stretching that. How does prayer have to do anything with carrying the cross? What do you mean? Well, this is the deal. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 41, when Jesus was crucified there on the cross, the Bible there says the veil which was in the temple was torn in two. Now, that veil was inside the temple, and it separated the temple into two spots. There's the front part that kind of any priest could have access to, showbread and other stuff in there. The back part that the veil separated was called the Holy of Holies. And only one man, one time a year, one day, was allowed behind that veil. Because behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant, the visible, tangible presence of God. One man, one time a year was allowed into the presence of God. And if he was not perfect, he's called the high priest. If he was not perfect, just the presence of God would strike him dead. They had to put a rope around the high priest's leg. And they would listen for the bells on the bottom of his uniform to clang together. And if it stopped clanging, they realized he's dead. And they'd pull him out by that rope. One man, one time a year, allowed into the presence of God. Jesus, when he died on the cross, that veil was rent. It was Jesus declaring, open house. You can come, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, you can come boldly before my throne of grace and obtain help in your time of need. Now, anytime you need, anytime you want, you can come boldly before me and pray and get help as a dad for your kids. You pray passionately. I shared this with leadership a while back. Do you know what the most often repeated command is in the Bible? It's repeated more than anything else, hands down. You know what it is? Be not afraid, or fear not. Repeated time and time again through the scriptures. Why is that? Because we're afraid. We're afraid of everything. We're afraid gas prices are going to go so high that we can't even afford food. We're afraid if gas prices go too low that everyone's going to use too much and we're going to have global warming and we're going to all fry and die. Actually, probably in Southern Oregon, we're not afraid of that, but we're afraid of the national debt. We're afraid of recession. Oh, no, the sun's not going to rise tomorrow. We've got a recession. We're afraid of the election this year. Oh, no. What's his middle name again? What does that mean? What is the deal? We're afraid. We're afraid of geopolitical problems with Iran or Iraq or China. We're afraid of health stuff. I could get flesh-eating bacteria from a Walmart cart. Oh, no. That's my big fear. We're gripped by fear. So the Bible says over and over, fear not. Don't be afraid. But I share with leadership this. If there's one thing I could say is a fear of mine, I fear for my kids. I do. Because I see in the Bible these great godly men that are in a league outside of mine that end up with kids that are absolutely rotten. You see it in the life of Eli, the high priest. You see it in the life of King David. You see it in the life of Samuel, the prophet. You see it in the life of the first high priest, Aaron. Over and over, you see this tendency of this great godly man to end up with kids that just don't work. The kids that you say, what happened to them? It happens enough today that they have a term for it. They're called what? Pastor's kids, PKs. That's what they are. And you know what? I'm not arrogant enough to say, if I just do this, if I just plug my kids into this formula, they're going to pop out correct. I'm not arrogant enough to say that. So I humble myself, and I pray passionately for my kids and beg on the mercy of God that he would protect my kids from the evil one, protect my kids from this culture that we're in, to make sure that they grow up godly. I plead for my kids. I pray passionately. Dad, pray for your kids. Pray for your kids. Don't think just because they're coming on Sunday morning and going to Sunday school that that's going to be the formula for their success. Pray for them. That's the first thing. Second thing, not just pray passionately, but deny self constantly. The other way you can carry the cross, deny yourself constantly. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus says this, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny yourself, Dad. This is the deal. Dads, when you decided to get married, when you decided to be a father, this is the deal. You no longer are the most important. It's not all about you anymore. That ended the time you said, I want to be a dad. That ended. We need to deny ourselves. And that can be tough if we're honest. Because if I'm honest about myself, when Charity and I got married 8 years ago, if I'm really honest about that, when we got married 8 years ago, this is what I thought. I thought this, man, she is getting a trophy. I am such a catch. She is so blessed. If I'm honest, Well, it didn't take too long for me to realize I wasn't such a catch. 2 or 3 months. Took her about 1 week. Hey. We can think, man, it's all about me. Look at me, I'm important. You know, Malachi 2:15 says this. Why does God want good marriages? To raise up godly children. Dad, this is the deal. You want to be a dad that carries the cross? You deny yourself. It's not about you anymore. You make your decisions go through that. The hobbies that you choose, how is that going to affect my kids? The job that I do, how is that going to affect my kids? The career I choose, how is that going to affect my kids? The activities that I'm involved in, the things I allow in my house, how is that going to affect my kids? Because it's not about me anymore. I've got to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. You put your decisions through that. It's not about me. It's about my kids and what is going to cause them to grow up to be godly. I'm going to run my decisions through that. Denying myself. And I talk to parents with kids a lot older than mine. And all of them agree with this. 1 John, or 3 John rather, verse 4, which says, there is no greater joy than to know my kids are walking in the truth. When your kids are old, it doesn't matter what your hobbies were 10 years ago. It doesn't matter those activities you thought were so important. All that matters is, are my kids doing well? How you deny yourself and make sure your choices go through that decision. What is best for my kids? Not me. When I signed up for this thing called fatherhood, stop being about me, and it became about my kids. You deny yourself. You pray passionately. You deny yourself constantly. Thirdly, you confess completely. You confess completely. When you understand the cross, when you are carrying the cross for your kids, you understand there's a whole different way of dealing with mistakes and dealing with your sins. It's 1 John 1:9 that says this, if you'll confess your sins, God will forgive you of those sins and cleanse you from that unrighteousness. Carrying the cross means you confess completely. There are times that I get my family together. I sit them all down at the table. And I say to my daughters, I say to my kids, I say this, Daddy blew it today. Daddy made a mistake. Daddy lost it today, and I'm sorry. I confess to them. And I don't add in there, I don't add in this, Daddy blew it today. Daddy lost it today because you kids drive me nuts. I don't add that in. I own up. I'm the dad. They're kids. I'm the adult. They're children. I own up and I confess. I blew it. Will you forgive me? And then I accept forgiveness. That's part of 1 John 1:9. All right, I apologize. I confessed my sin and now I accept forgiveness. I don't let that problem, that issue, that thing hold me back from being the dad I need to be. I can't say that. I blew it so bad yesterday. No, I'm done with it. I'm back to being the dad I'm supposed to be. I accept forgiveness. That's what the cross speaks of. It's forgiveness. And then the beautiful thing is this. If you'll do that, 1 John 1:9 says this, he will cleanse you from that unrighteousness. God, if you'll confess as a dad, I'll do it. I'll confess. I blew it. God will cleanse you from that. That propensity to lose your temper, that propensity to be impatient, apathetical, whatever it is. God will then cleanse you from that so you're not that way anymore. So you don't struggle with that thing constantly. He'll cleanse you from it. Confession, no matter what it is, confession is always the course to change. You want to change? Admit you blew it. Confess it. Accept forgiveness and watch and see God change you. Read Psalm 51 at some point where David talks all about confession. Then he talks about God changing the inner parts of him. Only God can do that. You confess. You're honest with your kids. I don't play Superman with my kids. I don't try to be a superhero. I'm honest and open about who I am with my family. I confess. Carrying the cross, you pray passionately. You deny yourself constantly. Confess completely. It was so important, I forgot it. And fourthly, and maybe this is most important, you love them lavishly. boil it down, what does the cross speak of? What does the cross speak of? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The cross is the physical demonstration of God's love for each one of us. Throughout the Bible, it's quoted. Look at the cross if you wonder if God loves you. God demonstrated his love for us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the physical demonstration of God's love for us, the Father's love for his kids. Dads, love your kids lavishly. Demonstrate physically that you love your kids. If you have girls, dads, if you've been blessed with girls, I've been blessed with three of them, you demonstrate you love your kids. You grab them and you hug them. You grab your kids and you kiss them. You grab your daughters and you say, you are the most gorgeous five-year-old I've ever seen in my life. You demonstrate daily. Don't let a single day go by that you don't demonstrate your love for them. Why? How will your daughters be able to spot the dogs if you have not shown them what a true man is? They won't. You've got to demonstrate that. You want your daughters to know what a godly man is to be? You've got to demonstrate that. You don't let a day go by without demonstrating how you love your kids. You romance them. You take them on dates. You write letters to them. You write poems to them. But Matt, I'm not any good at that kind of stuff. How good do you have to be? She's only 6 years old. You know? Just do it. You demonstrate. You love them. Every single day. That's what you got to do. If you've got sons, you need to demonstrate your love for your sons. You know? Hug your sons. Kiss your sons. Kiss them right on the mouth. Not if they're 20. They'd be like, you just tried, old man. I will take you out. You just love your kids. Show them it. I want my son to be strong but sensitive. I want there to be young men, young boys that grow up that my daughters can marry. I need young men that are strong and they're sensitive. They're godly. And they get that way when they have a dad that demonstrates, I love you. I love you, son. Come here. Let me hug you. Let me kiss you. You're my boy. I'm proud of you. Just lavish love upon them. It boils down to that. That's what the cross is. It's God lavishing his love on you and me. That's what we're to do with our kids. Just lavish love on them. Don't wait. Don't wait for them to do something. Don't wait for them to do some great thing that you then lavish love on them. You do it every single day. You love them. The Bible says God's mercies are new every morning. Every single morning. Have a whole brand new set of mercies for your sons and your daughters. Just loving them. Dads, carry the cross. Pray. Pray. It's arrogant, I think, when people don't pray for their kids. They're just going to turn out fine. I don't believe that. I pray. Pray for them. You deny yourself. It's not about you anymore, Dad. It's about your kids. Why does God want godly marriages? Malachi 2:15. To raise up righteous, godly children. You confess. Don't be a superhero. They'll see right through it. Kids will see it. And finally, just lavish them with love. Grab them, hug them, kiss them, and love them. Watch and see your kids respond and become godly men and women. Amen? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these dads in here. I know that, Lord, we make mistakes as dads. I know that some of us beat ourselves up over those mistakes. Lord, I pray that this day they would know that you've forgiven them. I pray that this day that dads would not allow past issues to prevent them from being the dad you want them to be today. May they accept your forgiveness and move forward. I pray that we would be a congregation that prays for our kids, committing them to you, entrusting them to you, knowing that you're the faithful one, you're the powerful one, and we look to you. I pray that Lord, we would love our kids, that we would demonstrate that love, that we wouldn't let a day go by that we don't show how much we love our kids. Oh, help us. Oh, remind us, Lord. I pray for dads that you would fill us with your Spirit and enable us, Lord. Quicken us. Change us into the dads that we desire to be, the dads that you want us to be, Lord. By your Spirit, by your power this day, may we do these simple things, taking up our cross. And may we see a bunch of Rufuses come out of this group, men that are leaders in the church. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great Father's Day.